Good morning.
Thank you, Mike, and the team for those songs. That last song is one of my favorites. I always enjoy that challenge to take our candle and go light the world. This morning, chosen to talk on the topic of thankfulness or Thanksgiving. And I know it's not November yet, so maybe we're a little out of place here. But I think this is something we need to practice in our daily lives. And the more I studied this, the more I became convinced of this subject needing to be a huge part of our lives. And so I'd like to look at it this morning and look at it from a biblical standpoint. I know the holiday we often think of the physical blessings we have, you know, the things we have to be thankful for here. And that's well and good and necessary as well. But I'd like to look at it more from an aspect of our spiritual lives this morning. What is thankfulness? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary or Wikipedia, I know that's not always accurate, but it says in today's language, it's a feeling or attitude in acknowledgement of a benefit that one has received or will receive. And I especially like the attitude part, you know, of a benefit, thankful, or to be appreciative of something we have received. So I'd like to look at what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving. If you look it up in the concordance, the word thankful or forms thereof, thanksgiving, are mentioned 138 times. And, you know, it's... If you just go by just the number of times it's mentioned, you know, with all the words in the Bible, 138 times isn't that many. But if you look at what it corresponds with, it becomes very important. I'd like to start in the Old Testament, and if you look in the Old Testament, there's two Hebrew words that they use for Thanksgiving, and they're translated. One is translated to talk about offerings or sacrifices. The other is translated as praise. And so, if you include the word praise and forms thereof, that's used alone for 311 times, so total of 450 times. Now, praise is mostly used in Psalms. If you look in Psalms, if you look in the concordance of the word praise, it's almost entirely in Psalms. And I'm not going to get a whole lot into the aspect of praise this morning, but that is a form of thankfulness or thanksgiving. What I find interesting that in the Old Testament, this word thanks or thanksgiving isn't used until Leviticus. Praise is used a few times, but if you combine the two and all the forms of those two words, it's only used 11 times in the first five books of the Bible. Does that mean it's not important? Not at all. In fact, if you look in Genesis and the incident with Cain and Abel, they were making a sacrifice. It doesn't say what kind of sacrifice. It doesn't mention that it was a burnt offering. So maybe that was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We don't know. We do know Cain's wasn't accepted. Why not? There again, it never says specifically, but maybe. I mean, if you look at Cain's attitude, he wasn't a very grateful person. Didn't seem to be very grateful. And so maybe he didn't bring his best. Maybe his sacrifice wasn't accepted because he just wasn't truly thankful. Maybe he was just trying to be like his brother. I don't know, but you do see many times in those first five books that people are making sacrifices. They're building altars to the Lord and you know, covenants made, and they're thanking the Lord for the blessings he has given them. So the action does happen, but the word itself isn't mentioned that much until Leviticus. And then Leviticus is kind of a boring book, if you want to look at it that way. A lot of rules and laws, but I enjoy the Old Testament, and I enjoy reading about it, and everything is symbolic. The sacrifices they were supposed to give, there's always a symbol or a reason behind it. So I'd like to look a little bit about what they called the peace offerings. There's three kind of peace offerings, and one of those was an offering of thanksgiving, which included your normal sacrifice, which was an animal of either male or female, without blemish. But there's some other things that go along with this. So when Moses was receiving the law in Leviticus, he recorded all these things, and with the offering of thanksgiving, they had the normal animal that they had to sacrifice, and then there were some other things. There was called thick loaves without yeast, thin loaves without yeast, thick loaves of finest flour, and thick loaves made with yeast. So you see, it was more than just one item. There was four or five items that they had to do for this sacrifice of thanksgiving, which was one of the peace offerings, or other translation would be a fellowship offering. I find it interesting that with the peace offering, there is a thanksgiving offering. And another unique thing about this offering is that the person doing the sacrifice or doing the offering is allowed to partake of the food that he offers in the Thanksgiving sacrifice. So why is this important? You say, well, according to Leviticus 17, verses 3 and 4, the only meat that the children of Israel are to eat is that meat that has been sacrificed to God first. Well, the only sacrifices that they were allowed to partake of was the peace offerings. One of those was the Thanksgiving offering. So in other words, if you wanted to have a big feast that included meat, more than just bread or grain, you had to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And this could be shared with your family. It also was shared with the priest. And so I just think it's a beautiful picture of, I mean, if they wanted to have fellowship with a large group of their family and with the priest and make that sacrifice to God, they had to do an offering of thanksgiving. So when they made that offering of thanksgiving, it brings all three parts together: the children, the priest, which is the mediator between God and the children of Israel, and God. And it brings all of them together. And is it a coincidence that the thanksgiving offering is included with the peace offerings? I don't really think so. As we get into the New Testament later, I think you'll see thanksgiving and peace go together well. So I just thought that was interesting. There in Leviticus, how it talks about an offering of thanksgiving and how it includes it with peace. Now, going to the New Testament now, go to Philippians, if I can find it here. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 7. 4 through 7, we'll see what the New Testament has to say about the subject of thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." This is actually the passage that got me started on this subject. Those two words really popped out at me the one time when I was reading this. It said, with thanksgiving. Not just in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God, but it mentions with thanksgiving. So that seems to have something to do with it. And verse 7 says, "And the peace of God," in other words, if you bring your prayers and petitions with thanksgiving, "the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." So there, it really ties back with Leviticus. You have the peace offerings and the thanksgiving offerings are tied together. Here, you present your prayers with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your hearts. So what are some things we have to be thankful for? Like I said, physically we have many things to be thankful for. But if you look at the New Testament here, Romans 7 verses 21 through 25 says, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we talked about a little bit this morning, you know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And he's doing the same thing for us today. We are bound by the law of sin and death. But thanks to God, he has delivered us. He has granted deliverance to us if we receive it. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 56 and 57 say, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So there again, he's reminding us what the law of sin and death has for us. It's nothing but pain and suffering. But Jesus granted us victory, and we need to thank him for that. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And there he brings it again. We are to give joyful thanks. Why? Because God has qualified us for his inheritance. We don't deserve it. By qualified, he doesn't mean to make us worthy of it. There's nothing we can do to make us worthy of the inheritance of Christ. But he has qualified us to be able to receive that inheritance. He's given us the forgiveness of sins. And that's something we need to be thankful for every day. I mean, without Jesus Christ, there's no way we could earn the forgiveness of sins. Look in the Old Testament, they had to make sacrifices over and over and over again. We don't have to do that today. Jesus died. He was that ultimate sacrifice, and we need to thank him for that. It says, "And give joyful thanks to the Father." Not just, thank you, but joyful thanks. It'll show in our lives. And if you look at Psalms, and I'm not going to go into Psalms because, I didn't know where to start and where to stop. There's so many Psalms praising God. I figured I'd read one verse. It says, "The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." There's some more reasons why we should thank the Lord. Things we have to be thankful for. His love endures forever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. That's Psalm 100. And like I said, Psalms is full of that. If you go into Psalms, it just, David continually writes praises to the Lord, giving thanks for different things. What else do we have to be thankful for? You look at Ephesians 5, verse 20. It says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, really, there it doesn't leave anything out. How it says always, we're continually be giving thanks for everything. And I know sometimes that doesn't really make sense. And there again, I wonder sometimes if you look at Leviticus and that offering they had to make, one of the requirements was bread with yeast, which is very, very unusual. I think there's only two sacrifices. Some people say maybe that was to coincide with this, to give thanks for everything. Because yeast typically in the Old Testament signifies something bad, and that's why they don't use it to make their bread for sacrifices. But in the offering of thanksgiving, they used both. Was that a symbol of giving thanks for everything? I'm not sure, but in the New Testament here, we are told to always give thanks to God for everything. And you see Paul doing that over and over. It didn't matter where he was or what he was doing, he was giving thanks to God. Going to Romans 1, verse 8. It says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world." So he's writing a letter to the Romans here, and he thanks God for them. And you see that in Paul's writings, just about every book he wrote. In the first chapter, there's a section where he says, "I thank God for you." And he goes on to list a list of things that he is thanking God for about them. And I think that's a very critical example Paul set for us. We need to thank God for each other. Does that mean just the people we like? I mean, you look at the books Paul is writing to these churches, and most of the letters were written to address problems these people had. It wasn't because they were perfect, but there were certain things that needed to be addressed, and he was addressing that, but yet he thanked God for them. Perfect or not, flaws or not, he thanked God for them, and I think we really need to do that. We have a body of believers here that, can you imagine what it would be like to do without? We need to thank God for each other, and I think that's a very, very important part here. Continuing on this subject of what do we have to be thankful for, you look at 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. Whoops, that's the wrong book. There we go. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 3. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, not just fellow believers, for all people. Then he goes on to say, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Now, when it gets to the thing of thanking God for rulers and authorities over us, sometimes that gets a little hard. I mean, we look at what Obama has done, and we think, well, how can we thank God for that? He hasn't been the greatest president. How about the elections coming up in November? Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. Yet God says, be thankful. Give thanks for your kings. Back then it was kings. Now it would be presidents and those in authority over us. That's not always easy. But God has put them in place over us. And why should we give thanks? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And also, verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior. He gives us reasons to do it. But if we look at when this was written, and we see Paul telling us to be thankful for kings and rulers, and we say, well, that's easy for him to say. He was in a pretty bad spot. According to most historians, this book was written just before Paul's death. And he would have been in prison, and the king, or I can't think of the word for the Roman ruler, was Nero. And I don't know what you know about Nero, but he wasn't a pleasant person. Not at all. He was very egotistical. His mother she continually was nagging him about things he was doing wrong. So he finally had enough. He had her killed. Just stop telling me what to do. So he had her killed. So that's one thing. He's not, obviously not a very nice person. But in Rome, back right around this time was written, there was a huge fire in Rome. 75% of the city burned. Most speculation is that Nero set that fire himself, because there was a portion of the city he wanted to rebuild. He wanted it to be nicer, especially his part. So he set a fire and had it, and it burned 75% of the city. Well, people were angry, obviously. Citizens of Rome were angry. So Nero decided, well, he has to blame somebody for this. So he blamed the Christians. And that's when Nero started persecuting Christians. And most likely, now this, we don't have a lot of facts on Paul's death, but most historians agree that Nero would have been the one that had Paul killed, persecuted and killed. So while Paul was writing this, there was lots of persecution going on by Nero, by the same person that most likely persecuted Paul and had him killed. Yet Paul tells us to give thanks for the kings and the rulers. So giving thanks isn't always going to be easy, but yet I really believe it's something we need to do. It needs to be part of our Christian lives. That's the first part of things we have to be thankful for. And like I said, I didn't even get into all the physical blessings we have, things we talk about, Thanksgiving. And those are things we need to be thankful for, but I want to keep looking at what the New Testament has to say about Thanksgiving. So let's look at when and why we need to be thankful. You look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So there again, he doesn't leave a whole lot out. Rejoicing always, praying continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. It's going to be hard sometimes, I believe. But you look at Paul, he did it over and over. How many times was he in prison, and they sat in their cell and they were singing? And what happened? There's times he was delivered, because he continued to give thanks and continued to be joyful and pray. So no matter what we're going through or what's happening, we need to be thankful. More reasons to be thankful. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Let's start at verse 3. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. I thought that was interesting how he lists a whole list of things that we should not do or we should not be involved in, but he says, but rather thanksgiving. So we see how it sets us apart. If we live a life of thanksgiving, it really sets us apart from all those other things he listed. Because I don't know how you can be thankful for what all God has done for us and still be involved in some of the things that are listed. They just don't go together. The book of Colossians has a few verses on thanksgiving as well. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And he mentions it again, not just being thankful, but overflowing with it. Not just letting your good friends know you're thankful for, but if we're overflowing with thankfulness, people everywhere will see what we're thankful for and why we're thankful for what we're thankful for. And they're going to ask questions, and it's going to affect people around us. We need to be overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, do whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We see it mentioned three times in the last three verses there. And in the first couple verses, 12 through 14, you see, he tells us what we are to be clothed with. He gives a lot of virtues here. And we all know about the fruit of the spirits. Many of the fruit of the spirits are mentioned here in this verse. And, but then in verse 16 or verse 15, he says, and be thankful. Now, if you look at this, I'm not going to say thankfulness is more important than any of these, because he says, and above, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. But how can you be compassionate if you're not thankful? How can you be kind to someone if you're not thankful for them? Have you ever tried it? If you're not thankful for the forgiveness of sins God has granted you, how are you going to be able to forgive others? It just, if you live a life of thanksgiving and have that spirit of thankfulness, all these other things, they go hand in hand. I know we often talk about the fruit of the spirits and thankfulness isn't included there, but it is here, and I really think it's a very crucial part of our Christian life. If we need any more reasons to be thankful for, let's look at the opposite of thankfulness. I mean, you look at the children of Israel. They were delivered from Egypt, and it wasn't long before they started complaining. And it happened over and over. They complained, and then God would finally either give them what he wants or he would punish them, and they repented and were thankful for a while, and then they started complaining again, and continually they were unthankful people. And what eventually happened to them? They were taken into captivity. The 10 tribes were scattered. To this day, they're still scattered because they were just continually an unthankful people, and so they fell into bondage. They fell into slavery. The same will happen to us, maybe not physically, but we'll fall into the captivity of sin if we don't live a life of thanksgiving. Romans 1:21. Says, if I can find it. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You can keep reading. It says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like immortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Why? Why did this happen to them? They did not glorify God, they didn't praise him, nor did they give thanks to him. It says it right there, that it's not a pretty picture what happens when we stop being thankful, when we stop being grateful. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. There's a lot of things listed in those verses that are negative, that are not good, and one of them is ungratefulness. And he says, have nothing to do with such people. And, I mean, I really think, the more and more I looked at this, that living a life of thanksgiving is such a huge part of our Christian lives. When we look at what all God has done for us, we look at the sacrifice he made for us, the life he has qualified us to inherit, he has forgiven our sins. We need to be thankful for that. And there's so many other things we can be thankful for. And I think if we live a life of thanksgiving, it'll be of not just thanksgiving, of joyful thanksgiving. The people around us won't be able to help it but to see that there's something different about us. If you're thankful, you're happy. You can be unhappy at times when you're thankful, but for the most part, you're a joyful person when you live a life of thanksgiving. And that's a huge witness to people around us. We have so many blessings if we stop and look at all we're thankful for. And I really don't think we have much choice to be thankful for, but to be thankful. In closing, I'd like to look at two more passages here. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 18. Says, but it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And that's really a large part of why we're here on this earth, is to bring glory to God, to praise him, to thank him. And in this passage here, it says, since I have spoken, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us, and the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And that's part of our mission here on earth, is to overflow with thanksgiving to God, and because of that, it'll reach other people, and then their thanksgiving will overflow to God. And last, Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So let this be on our minds. Let this become a lifestyle for us. Through Jesus, we can continually offer a sacrifice of praise. You know, sometimes it's not going to be easy. There's times when we're going through things that we don't feel like being grateful. But we have so many things to be thankful for. Even when times are hard, we always, almost always, we'll have somebody we can call and share with. That's a blessing. We have a church here to help us out. That's a blessing. But most of all, we have the love of God. We have the forgiveness of sins. And it's such an incredible blessing, and I think we need to be thankful for that every day. That's all I have, so why don't we stand for a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day of goodness, Lord. We thank you for this group of believers that's come together to worship you, Lord. We just thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you for your scripture that you've given us so we can study and learn more about you and be reminded of the many blessings we have, Lord. And we just want to thank you this morning for the forgiveness of sins, for the fact that you've qualified us to live a life of in your inheritance, Lord. And we just want to thank you for that. We ask you to be with each and every one as they travel home today and the ministers as they're traveling as well, Lord. Just keep us all safe. Help us to live our lives for you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.